to the book of Hebrews.
Praise the Lord.
Say
with
me.
Glory.
I want to read a little bit out of the 10th chapter of Hebrews. 10th chapter of Hebrews. Notice this. Verse 32 tells them to call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great bite of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions.
Yeah.
And partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Well, this is the reproach group that I run with. Everybody talks against them.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Yeah. Paul said, after the way that they call heresy, he said, so worship I the God of my Father.
Yeah.
This may not be the most popular way, but bless God, it's the only way.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
This isn't just one of the bunches that's going to heaven. Everybody's wrong but us.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And if anybody don't like what I said, I'll say it again. Everybody's wrong but us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get somebody to sit down on me and preach on that. But all right, let's turn now to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews here. Praise the Lord. Look at verses 24, 26. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Fasten your eyes upon those three words, or four. The reproach of Christ. The reproach of Christ. I said this is an honored reproach. Huh? This is glorious shame. I mean that. This is a valued shame and a reproach. Yes, it is. And let's go to Paul over here in the book of Galatians now. And look at what he says. In the last chapter of the book of Galatians, 6th chapter, verse 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The word marks means stigma in this case. Your Greek word for marks here means stigma or shame or reproach.
Yeah.
So Paul said, I bear in my body the reproach of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then he said over here in the book of Hebrews about Moses esteeming the reproach.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said, this is an honored reproach.
Yes.
There's something that you have to duck your head for, you know.
Yes.
And I've had to cry because I stubbed my toe and I missed the mark since I've been saved.
Yes,
but bless God, everything that God's ever sent down to me from up yonder, I don't have to take the tuck head about. I said this is an honored reproach. I'm glad I'm Pentecost tonight. I'm not going to come in this Pentecost way. But now Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Now here's an old bruised and battered pioneer for God telling the story. this. You can see that he was rapping with his own hand. He said he did.
You're all right.
Here's a man that's in jail for God.
Yeah.
Most of us, as a matter of fact, all of us, have been in jail for our own sins.
Yeah.
Or in trouble some way for our own sins.
Right.
But this man was in jail for God.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he was.
Yeah.
He didn't have a new car to ride around in.
All right.
He didn't have $75 suits to put on his back. He didn't know what it was to get a big T-bowl of steak.
No.
He didn't have a ceiling mattress that slept like a cloud.
No.
Bless God, when he walked in those towns, he said to his buddies that was with him, "I sure hope they got a good jail in town, because that's where we're going to end up. When I get done preaching, what I'm feeling on my soul, he said, boy, they're going to lock us up."
Yeah.
And Paul had this to say.
Yeah.
But now he had some knots on his head.
Yeah.
And maybe his clothes was half torn off his body.
Yeah.
He done and they lashed his back until it got bloody red.
Oh.
And they threw stones at him until he had bumps here and knots there. And when he rolled at night on that hard jail bed there, he'd groan and he'd sigh. I know it hurt. And as he looked at those marks, he had this to say, "I bear in my body the mark of Jesus." Not only the big knots on his head, not only the rift here in his trousers, not only all the abrasions, you know, that left him laying for dead one time.
Yeah.
He had to swim around a night and a day in the deep. He had to hang on to a piece of broken ship so he wouldn't go down the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he did. And no doubt he was buffeted about and beat back a little bit. I know his body was hurt and maybe he had to drag his foot a little bit.
Yeah.
But he had more about him than some broken bones and black and blue spots. He had the marks of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to be a marked man. You're going to be a marked man. And every time Paul saw that big old knot there, and that big old black bruise there, oh, yes, sir, and the lacerations and contusions on his head and his knees and his body, when he felt the scars all over him, oh, yes, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Well, that just wasn't the marks of Jesus. He was talking about some more marks. He said, "I bear in my body the reproach of Christ, or the stigma of Christ, or the shame of Christ." And he was glad he could have that mark on him. Oh, yes, sir. You're around folks tonight that are marked. And if you're going with God, you're going to be marked.
Yeah.
And you can thank God for that mark.
Yeah.
God's people have always been marked.
Yeah.
Oh, God said, "I'm going to start me a group of people." Oh, everybody was Gentile. I said everybody was Gentile.
Yeah.
But God told one man, "Get up and get out of this country." Boy, Abraham began to walk with God.
Yeah.
And one day God gave him a little covenant. And God gave him a sign.
Yeah.
And God said, "I'm going to take your children and the seed from out of your loins. And I'm going to make that seed like the stars of the heaven and like the sand of the sea."
Yeah.
Here's an old man, 75 years old, Pappy. That God said, "I'm going to raise up children for you."
Yeah.
And he didn't start right there. 85 and it didn't happen. 95 and it didn't happen. And 99 years old and God finally gave him the promise. I'm telling you tonight, God had a mark for him. What was the mark that he gave him? He gave him circumcision. There was a mark upon the people of God. No other nationality had it. No other nation had it. Nobody else had it. God gave his children a mark. It meant more than the token of the flesh. It meant the circumcision of the heart. Oh, brother, but God didn't stop there. One day he said, "I'm going to bring Abraham's children out of Egypt." And they were there in bondage. And in that dark land of Egypt, God finally said, "I'm ready to go." And he sent Moses with a message. But God had something else to prove that he was going to mark them with. He said, "Now, all these other Egyptians won't listen. But oh," he said, "about midnight, I'm going to come through, brother, with this old big sword. And whoever stands in the way, he said, I'm just going to chop them down. If they're not in that house, it's got a mark on it. They got to have blood right here. And they got to have blood right here. And they got to have blood right there. You got to be in a marked house. When they don't have that marked on it, you just can't be saved. I said, this is a mark, people. You might not like the cross. You might not like the blood. You might not like this baptism. But if you're going to be saved, you got to be marked. And God's people were marked. If you would, please. I say on that Passover night, God got a man. Oh, he got Moses to lead the way. Oh, yes, sir. He sat there in his fine clothes. He had the best bed in town, Mr. Feeney. Yes, he did. He had the finest suit on anybody could give him. History tells us he was a general in Pharaoh's army. He was slated to sit on the throne when old man Pharaoh kicked off. He was educated in the finest schools of the land. He might talk just like an Egyptian talked. He might have all the training of the best Egyptian schools and tutors. He might have Egyptian suits on. But there's something else about that boy. He was marked. And I don't mean he just had the Jew nose about him either. He had something else besides that Jew nose. He was marked by God. He had God's mark on him. His mother got him down and taught him the law. Oh, she taught him there was one God. She taught him how to live. She taught him what he had to know. And bless God, he had God's mark on him. Pretty soon he couldn't stand it any longer. He said, if I sit here, look over yonder, boy. See all those great big pyramids? One day they might even name one after you. You might be one of the greatest kings that Egypt ever had. But one day he just pulled off his old coat and he threw it down and gave it a kick. He said, I don't care about my future. I just don't care about anything here. And they could have my education. He said, I'm just going to glory in this reproach of Jesus Christ. I'm going to glory and seek that to be my honor. Give me that mark of the persecuted people of God. I can't stand it any longer. I want that mark. I want that mark. I want that shame. I want the honor of that shame. I want the honor of that reproach. And Moses stepped down out of there and he took the mark for God. Oh, yes, he did. Hear me, please. In the book of Ezekiel, you'll see that there were six angels came down when this man Ezekiel was having all the visions there about the temple. And you'll find the angels just walking on in. Oh, yes. And everybody that they saw, brother, there was some of them had a mark and some of them didn't get a mark. And you know who got the mark? Everybody that sighed and cried for the abominations that were done in the land. Huh? They went by one and they missed it. They give them a mark.
Yes, sir.
They give him a mark. They walk by a couple more. And missed a couple more. I don't mean anything by it, brethren.
That's all.
But what I'm trying to say, as they come through the land, there's some they put a mark on, and some they didn't mark. There's some had a mark, and some didn't have a mark. And the ones that got the mark were the ones that sighed, and the ones that cried for all the abominations that were done in the land. Hear me, please. It didn't say they got a mark because they rubbed sin out and nobody had any more sin. Well, I've been preaching quite a while, not too long, but quite a while the saints around this country trying to stop the sinning business.
Yeah.
I can't stop it. I said I can't stop it. I slow it down. I said I slow it down a little bit. It didn't say you're going to give them a mark to everybody that kept everybody from sinning, but for those that sigh and those that cry against abomination. I can still sigh about it, and I can still lift up my voice and cry to And God sees church members that fight sin, He's going to give them the mark. We have a lot of folks that don't care about a standard being up anymore. And it can just fall right down flat on its face. And they don't care. They can have their plays and programs in a church. They forget to go right on. I'll just bring in some nice little singer here and some other little showpiece here, and it's going right on. And people just forget to preach the old message and forget to take the right kind of a stand. And they don't even preach the new birth anymore. And they say, I'll let you buy if you let me buy. But somewhere, bless God, in America and somewhere in this world, there's old-fashioned preachers in a streamlined world that can say, my God, something's gone wrong. Things aren't like they ought to be. Then it's a revival again. And they sigh and they cry against the abominations of our day. And God said, mark that man. Mark the perfect man. God, mark him. Oh, yes. I said, this is a mark group. This is a mark group. I can tell one of our bunch when they get up. They can stand up anywhere. I can listen to them talk just a little bit. And I'll point somebody and say, that's one of the boys. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's some of them, you know, they take the long road home and say nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brother, when I sit down in church and a stranger comes in my church door, I don't mean mine, but you know how preachers talk, our church. I sit there and I watch some old boy come in. Well, I did me the other day. Why? He said, Ballister, you're too critical. You're too critical. Well, I said, I'm a watchman over all these saints.
Yes,
24 hours a day I'm responsible. I'm responsible 24 hours a day. Before anybody gets up here and opens his mouth, I want to give him the third degree. I want to know all about it. Oh no, he said, we ought to receive everybody with open arms. I said, everybody that walks through that door is a crook until I prove him innocent. Hallelujah. Brother, we got to the place where you almost have to do that. Brother, I tell you, churches have been hoodwinked and hoodooed and taken for a cleaning. You know, because saints are gullible. I tell you, I wait pretty soon. Here comes some person sitting there. I say, now, who's this guy? And I'll elbow my elder there by me, my sister. I said, right here. So who's this fellow? I don't know. You ever see him before? No, never saw him on the right. Well, I'm going to watch him. Right by testimony time, he gets up. Bless God. He said, I belong over here to Brother Joe's church someplace. Baptized Jesus' name, got the Holy Ghost. All right. Praise God. Believe in living holy. I said, oh, boy, I feel better now. He's got the mark. I say, you really got one, yeah. Brother. You just can't keep your mouth shut about it. You're going to talk it up wherever you go. Pretty soon, here comes a fella in. He gets up and testifies and says nothing. I said, he couldn't be one of ours. Because, brother, we just can't hide this thing. We can't keep it secret. We're going to have to talk it up. Now, what are the marks of Jesus Christ? Well, first, bless God, there's one big mark that everybody gets when they get a hold of Jesus, and that's speaking with other tongues.
Yeah.
I said that you're going to get a mark when you get this thing.
Yeah.
You'll find yourself talking in another language.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you get the Holy Ghost, you got to talk.
Yeah.
I don't mean just stammer a little bit. I don't mean get your tongue all tumbled up.
No.
I said it that way on purpose. I don't mean just get out here and I mean, brother, speak in another language.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Bless God. If you ever backslide, you come and pray through again, you still got to talk in tongues.
Yeah.
And if you pray through one time and didn't talk for a little while, you better get down and stir up that gift that's on the inside of you.
Yeah.
The devil's going to whip you to death if you don't get loose. I got an old woman, 85 years old, seeking the Holy Ghost again. been sitting there for years and years and years and years and can't, and didn't even talk in tongues. Why, the devil, she's getting ready to die. And the devil's telling her, well, maybe you're not ready to go. When I leave here, brother, I want the mark to be on me. I want that mark to be on me, saying, Abba, Father. I want that heavenly language to be in there. You've got to have that mark.
Go.
But I know what. Some old boy comes in there, and he listens around, and listen to what they say. Well, they say, I don't like that blooming gospel tabernacle over there. Did you hear? They get up there, and they just talk. They all talk and can't understand it. Oh, I know. They say that's a reproach, but I glory in that reproach.
Oh,
I glory in that part. Oh, you can just call it jibber jabber, anything you want to. But I'm glad when I can get me down in the prayer room and I can get shut in with God. And oh, I can have that reproach. Come on. Oh, I can have that glorious mark, that mark of shame. The world may not like it, but oh, thank God for that mark tonight. I'm glad I'm a mark man. I'm glad I got that mark upon my life. In Acts the 2nd chapter, they had the mark. In Acts the 8th chapter, they got the mark. In Acts the 10th chapter, they got the mark. In Acts the 19th chapter, they got the mark. Oh, yes, sir. And one time, bless God, Philip went to a city and got the whole city baptized in Jesus' name. But they didn't have that mark on them yet. You're just not saved by just getting baptized. If all you did was get baptized, you didn't go far enough. You still have to have another mark on you. Oh, yes, sir, you got to have a mark about you. You got to belong to that tongue-talking bunch. You got to speak in another language. And thank God Peter had the keys, and he got them out there. And bless God, he began to open up that door. Oh, yes, he did.
Yes, sir, he did.
Somebody said, well, didn't say they spoke in other tongues. All it said there was they had the Holy Ghost fell on them. Laid hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. I say, you'll notice in every time, every instance where they got the Holy Ghost, they spoke with other tongues.
Right.
Somebody said, well, right over here, didn't say they did. Well, now let's go back and study the thing a little bit. Simon the sorcerer stood there and looked the whole thing over. Matter of fact, he got so stirred up, he laid down all of his little witchcraft business, and he's just sitting on the side. Bless God, here comes Philip the evangelist, talked him into getting baptized. He got baptized. He said, I won't work anymore, hocus pocus, for a while. He said, I think this is a better deal. He looked into that. The whole city was going after the preaching of Philip, but nobody could talk in tongues. And suddenly, here come the big boys. Oh, yes, sir. Here come the boys that had the tongues message. Oh, well, Philip, he didn't have the keys. He couldn't open the door, but he believed it because he had it. But he couldn't give it to anybody. It just wasn't ready yet for these Samaritans. But here come Peter. And bless God, he said, oh, all right, what have you done? He said, well, I got them repented. I got them baptized in Jesus' name. He said, they're just waiting on the props. So he just opened up the door. Said, all right, come on, Jesus. And when he opened that door, bless God, he laid his hands on him. Oh, bless God, the Holy Ghost fell.
Amen.
The Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Then what happened? Well, now, there must have been some mark take place.
Yeah.
I said there must have been some sign happen right then.
Yeah.
Because Simon the sorcerer says, brother, how much do you want to do that trick with? I mean, he must have saw something. He must have heard something.
Yeah.
He said, how much are you going to take? Well, I can do the same thing. Oh, they said, it's not for sale. You're in the bond of iniquity and the gall of bitterness. You just can't buy this thing. God only puts this mark upon those that have paid the price. I said God only puts it upon those that have paid the price. God, there's some marks about this thing. I know, say, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the mark of humility. You've got the mark of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Why, it's love. And you've got joy. And you've got gentleness. And you've got peace and love and suffering. And temperance, bless God, you'll mark my eye when you get the Holy Ghost.
Brother,
but if you've got old Adam in there, and you've got old fat and grumble and grouch and gripe in there, you're marked by the wrong kind of things. Oh, yes,
sir.
You can tell an old sinner. Oh, yes, sir. He's just so full of the devil. And brother, he's headed for hell. And he don't care who stands in his way. And if you just cross him one time, he's ready to go right at it. He can't help it. He's mocked by hell. He's mocked with the devil and mocked with hatred. But bless God, when you get this thing, you can take it on the chin. And you can be a man of God. That's one of God's marks. Oh, yeah. I believe what I'm saying. I believe what I'm saying.
Amen.
We're all going to be marked. We're all going to have a little reproach. I stood there. A fellow told me one time, are you going to take that? You're going to take... He cussed me out. I just looked him over. I'd have hit him with a ball bat and brass knuckles one time. You say, you didn't copyright. I know I never did when I was in the world. And never gave anybody a chance, hardly. And I looked at him. He just cussed me out inside as well. Thank God. Lord, I feel like David. When old Gehazi wasn't fit to hold a candle to David, cursed the king. David just says, all right. He said, God, you probably put him up to it. I deserve it all. Offense it to booger. I guess I deserve every bit of it. Say on, buddy. You through? He said, no. And I said, get through. And he finally got through. Oh, brother, he read my pedigree. And when he got through, well, all right. Praise the Lord. That's all. Somebody said, aren't you going to fight, you chicken? You got anything else to say? You're yellow, coward, dirty skunk and everything else? Thank you. And he said, huh? I said, thank you. You know, it's a reproach not to fight like a man.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
It's a reproach not to put your dukes up and defend your own self.
Yeah.
I said it's a reproach, but I bear in my body the reproach of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're a quitter and a coward. I don't care what to say. Thank God I'm a marked man.
Yeah.
I said I'm a marked man.
Yeah.
Even the old devil can fight for his own cause. But Jesus didn't fight for his own cause. Even the old carnal man can stand up for himself. And Jesus, bless God, turned that other cheek. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. I said he's a marked man. And bless God, you can't fight your and win your battles. But if you let God fight your battles, he'll win for you. The Antichrist. I said, he's going to mark folks. He's going to mark them.
Yeah.
Did you ever read over there about there's going to be a ceiling? 12,000 of this tribe, and 12,000 of this tribe, and 12,000 of this tribe, and 12,000 of that tribe. They're going to be sealed. You know, what's that mean? I said, bless God, they're going to have a mark.
Yeah.
The Bible said in the book of Ephesians about the church of the living God. It said ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Yeah.
That means you got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That means you had that reproach on you. That means you had that glorious mark on you. I said those Jews that are going to get sealed in the book of Revelation are going to be a marked people.
Yeah.
They're going to have the reproach of Christ on them.
Yeah.
That means they're going to have a tongue-talking blessing upon them. They're going to get the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
A lot of folks say, well, during that old tribulation, I'll lay my head on the chop block over here. And I'll just say, I'll trust Christ for my Savior. If you ever make it now or ever, you'll have to take that mark of the Holy Ghost on you.
Uh-huh.
You'll have to get this tongue talking mark.
Yes,
I mean what I say. I have two scriptures in the Bible to prove that even the Jews, this nation that's going to be born in a day, is going to have God's Spirit poured out upon them. They're going to be a sealed people.
Yeah.
Marked by God.
Yes.
But did you know the Antichrist? He's coming out, and he's going to put a little mark on somebody. He's coming out. Give me your right hand. Sticks it here. Sticks it there. What's it for? You say, is it a little mark, 666? Well, I know I've read everybody's idea on it. Somebody said, well, that's the Pope. Well, I've called him everything that and a whole lot more, too. About 20 years of cat. I know that he is Antichrist.
Yeah.
I said the Pope is Antichrist.
Come on, come on, you're right.
Ask God, he is Antichrist.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the Antichrist, but he is Antichrist. And every one of his little harlot daughters run around as Antichrist. You hear me? Anything that will pollute the old-fashioned gospel standard is Antichrist. It is the gospel truth. Oh, somebody said, now, it says on the Pope's crown, you know, his little Latin words, if you add them up, it adds up to 666, and it really does. Well, is it going to be the mark 666 up here? Well, it could be. You say, is it going to be a literal mark? Well, the Bible always has a literal interpretation and also a spiritual. And if you're trying to prove something, don't do away with the spiritual just to hang on to the literal. And if you're trying to look at something, don't just preach the spiritual and forget the literal. But let me tell you, I don't know actually what that mark's going to be, but there's going to be a mark. Whether it's going to be just a little word, whether it's going to be a sign, a system, or a group, or what it is. I don't know what it is. I preached one time when I was at Columbus years ago, first time I ever got there, didn't know anybody. And I got up to teach a Bible study, and somebody wanted to get me all mixed up in a Bible study, looking for a black person. I didn't look black. And he said, preacher, and I was preaching on the 8th chapter of the book of Romans over here. I mean, a million miles from the coming of the Lord, the Antichrist, or anybody else. And I was preaching on, you know, consecration, don't you think? No. And he said, well, Brother Ballester, who are the two witnesses over here in the book of Revelation? I said, what? He said, who are the witnesses over here in the book of Revelation? First time there preaching the church, teach the Bible lesson. I looked at him and said, they're the Democrats and Republicans. Who do you think they are? Oh, I said, well, I'm glad to learn that. And here you go, convicted this day, for all I know. And a lot of people don't know what it's all about. And I'll admit, I don't know what it's all about. It could be a Democrat. Especially now that Kennedy's in there. Sure could be. Me and Ben will agree on that, won't we? It might be. But I'll tell you this one thing. They're going to have a mark in the forehead and in the hand. Now notice where it is. Forehead is a symbol of thoughts, what you think. Isn't that it?
Yes.
And the hand is a symbol of your deeds or what you do. Bless God, you're going to have to take the mark in everything that you think or what you do. Now listen to the sinner. Jesus is trying to preach us the truth here in this Bible. He had it written for us. Back in the old days, the world, the antediluvian people, before the flood in Noah's day, their thoughts were only evil continually. They just thought upon sin and sex and dirt and crime and rotten stuff all day long. And you can get around on the job, and I don't care if it's men or women. And bless God, they can be little old boys and girls. And my little kiddies come home and play with some children down the street and say, Daddy, what does this word mean? And I mean, I jump out of my chair and I said, don't you go there and play with that group anymore. Little kids, where do they learn such rotten stuff? Listen to me. The imaginations and thoughts of their minds back in Noah's day was evil continually. People are just trying to see how they can commit a crime or get rich without working or lust. Or you read the newspaper and see what's going to play in the picture shows, and it's some old sadistic murder, some rape. It's going to be some war, some shoot 'em up business, some old sexy stuff. And you wonder why this generation's going to hell. They're just about taking the mark. You hear me? You're going to be marked by what you say. You're going to be marked by what you do. You're going to have the marks of the world, or you're going to have the marks of Jesus Christ in you. If you're marked with God, bless God, when they say, come on, Ballester, let's shoot a little more pool. I said, no more rattling the balls for me. I said, goodbye the pool hall. They say, here's a cigarette. How about a cigarette? No more cigarette for me. Bless God, they say, let's go see what's playing at the show. No more show for me. How about going roller skating? And they send me these things, you know, for these roller skating factories around town. They say, other churches use it. When can we get Christ Temple over there? Bless God, as long as they got one lung and three more breaths. And they say, don't go. Christ Temple's not going. Not going. We've got marks of Jesus Christ. Man, look at our people like they look at the people here. And they look at you women. And they look at you men. And say, where are you going tonight? I'm going to church. You're going where? I'm going to church. Well, they said you was there last night. You said, yeah, and I was there the night before. And I enjoyed that. And Monday night I was at a rally, and I enjoyed that. And Sunday night I heard Brother Hughes, and I enjoyed that. And Sunday morning I heard him again, and I enjoyed that. And I'm going every night, bless God, next Sunday, I'll be here all day. I'm going as long as God let me go. As long as I can pick him up and lay him down. If I have to fall all over this church, I'm going. What's the matter with you? We're marked. Mean old stinking husband, old sop drunk, full of the devil, backbone like a jellyfish, won't live nothing, try to keep some little old weak woman out of living for God. He might even hit him. I was preaching for Calvinists one time, and one woman was seeking the Holy Ghost, and that old drunken sot of a man was out there, and when she'd leave the altar and go in the car, he'd hit her right in the face. Says, you're not going back anymore. All black and blue, but she'd come back again. What are you doing? I got the mark of Jesus on me. Oh, that's it. Whether you're hit or not. Bless God, you just can't help it. You've got to be in church. How can you let your head roll along? I'm marked for God. It might be a reproach. But now, they'll say you're looking pale as ghosts. Why don't you put some lipstick on? You need a little rouge here. And say your dresses, you know, are too long. Why, don't you know it's a fashion out of showing little dimple knees? Oh, no, sir. This is a reproach for Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, and a real saint of God said, I wish my hair was so long, I could sit on it.
Yeah.
Well, you do anyhow. Oh, yeah. Of course, some of you can't do that, you know. It don't grow. Of course, it can't grow as long as you singe off here with this hand and cut it off here, trim it with the other. But bless God, if you let yourself be marked by God, your hair bone is still about you. You'll leave the old world alone. And you'll see some old sinner girl all the time calling you. And you'll see some old sinner boy calling you. But if you're going on with God, you say, I don't care what they're saying. If I eat my lunch, if I have to do it all alone on the job, well, I can be reproached for Jesus Christ. They'll say, come here, buddy. You'll be a big bunch of boys, all snicker, on the job or in the school or around the neighborhood. Come over here and get right by, and just for your benefit, they'll start to tell some old stinking, smutty, rotten, lewd, filthy joke. Say, boy, we want you to hear this. And pretty soon you say, I'm not going to hear this. And you walk off, they'll laugh and have a big time. Don't you worry, your face might get red. The devil might kind of whip you down. But I want you to hold your head high. I might look like a reproach. They might make fun of me and call me yellow and a sissy and a quitter and a coward. But it takes a man to bear this reproach. It takes a man, bless God, to have a mark. It takes a real man to be a saint of God and keep on coming. We've got some old folks. They just can't drive across the street to get out to God's house. Oh, if you're a mock person, you'll be here. Hear me.
Lord.
Hear me. You won't go with God anywhere. Some of you. You're not going with him all the way. You're kind of ashamed of the mark. Can you bow your head in that restaurant and say, oh, Jesus, thank you for this food. Bless it to my body. In Jesus' name, I'm thankful. Or do you bow your head and kind of rub your eyebrow and scratch your little old dandruff out of your hair and say, oh, Jesus, amen. And just go on. Huh? How about that now? Brother, if you really show that mark wherever you go, listen to me, girl. No old sinner boy is going to get a hold of you. You see, they just don't let me alone, preacher. Well, you're not all that good looking. I've looked this crowd over. There's nobody here that anybody will take a tumble over automatically. If you dress like a saint, you live like a saint, they'll leave you alone.
Amen.
That's right.
Lord.
He said, they'll leave me alone. One fella said, I don't know, but he said, people always hang around me. Well, all you got to do, bless God, if you're in the park or on the job or anywhere, just get out your Bible. Maybe two or three of them will open them right up. Open the Bible. Put a sandwich in this hand. You watch people scatter. You'll be there all by yourself eating your little old sandwich.
Yeah.
See, that's a mark guy. Get him. Here's a radical. There's a nut. Let him alone.
Yeah.
Then we'll come to church and say, some of us, oh, I'll go with him through the garden.
Yeah.
Huh? Brother, we come out there in a big old Cadillac or a Chrysler to haul you to church, and you wouldn't come. Jesus walked and rode a mule, and they wouldn't come. Huh? Listen to me right now. Say, I'll go with him to the judgment. You won't go with him to the judgment. You won't stand before Pilate. I know you won't. Somebody said, I'm going to go with him to the cross. You've never been to Calvary. Do you hear me? You haven't been to Calvary, some of you, because I know you haven't been in the garden yet. And when you can get down and pray, not my will, but thine be done. And you can say, God, it's not my thoughts, but your thoughts. And you can get down there and begin to say, oh, God, I'm going to kill me. This is going to be the end of me tonight. I'm not going to have my way. I'm going out of church if I have to crawl. If I haven't got the desire, you're going to give me that desire tonight. You're going to give me that determination tonight.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you can't go to Calvary until you've been to Gethsemane first.
Yeah.
And as long as you got a will, you haven't been to Calvary yet, because that's where you die out. Oh, when you can see I'm crucified with Christ, and you can say you can have the marks of the crucifixion upon you.
Yeah.
And bless God, you said, I'm dead to self. I'm dead to my will. I'm dead to my aspiration. There's some people put their jobs before they put the gospel. They'll put their boy, their girl, their mother, their father. Those folks aren't dead. They're alive in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
They haven't got the marks of Jesus on them yet. I said, they haven't got them on them yet. We have a lot of folks to be preachers today. If they'd have just crucified themselves and taken the mark of God. But they was more interested in the almighty dirty dollar than there was the blessed touch of the mighty God. I said, you got to be marked. I said, you got to be marked. Well, now, on the cross, what kind of marks did he get? Well, he had nail prints in his hands and feet. And they said, well, now, maybe that's what I'll have to get. When we look for Jesus again, what are we going to look for? A woman wrote a song, and a lot of people have been criticizing it ever since. Fanny Crosby was a blind woman. This is why she said it. And I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Of course, she couldn't see. That's why she wrote that. And I understand. Now, do you believe when Jesus is coming, we have to look for the marks? And personally, I believe there's marks there. Do you believe I'm going to have to go around looking for everybody's hands when I get to heaven, or if he comes back to earth and I have to say, stick out your hand, I want to see the mark. I got to see the hole in the nail. If that's all we got to look for, brother, any old deceiver can run a nail through his hand. I said any old deceiver can run a nail through his hand. You go around the world and people might even talk in some kind of a tongue. You know, that can be duplicated. Father, the vine's buzz can rattle off in tongues. But tongues alone's not enough. Oh, they can imitate a lot of things. They can imitate jumping. They can imitate running. They can imitate shouting. They can imitate dancing. But bless God, there's one thing they can't imitate, and that's a holy walk with God. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. You can't imitate holiness. You can't put on godliness. It's either there or it's not there. You've either got it or you don't have it. And bless God, it's in our bear in my body. No marks. Glory to Jesus Christ. Well, as long as you've got bitterness and you've got meanness and stinking pride and everything else about you, you're not marked with the Lord yet. But oh, say, I'm going to close. We want you to have
the true mark of God. I'm trying to encourage you in this little week campaign. But I want to be like that old love slave back in the Bible. You remember reading about him? Whenever they captured a man in battle, they took him home. And they made him work for 7 long years. He was a slave. I don't care what nationality he was, what nation he come from. They just made him work. The old master said, "Get up, boy, and chop wood." He got up before daylight. He chopped a pile of wood. He wanted to hitch up the team. He had to hitch up the team. "I want you to plow the field." He had to plow the field. All they gave him was just his board and room. He didn't get anything else. The clothes he wore, they had to put him on. He didn't have anything. If he came for the family, he got to keep that family. And when the 7 years was up, he could take that family and go away. If he came single and he got a family, since he was there, and a wife and children, at the end of 7 years, he had to leave that family with a boss man and walk away without anything. That's what the book said. Now listen, if that man that was a slave liked the master so well and wanted to stay and work on, didn't get any more, he didn't get anything extra for it, but if he just liked that home, and he liked all the things that they gave him around there, wife and kitties and blessings, and he had happiness and loved his master, and he wanted to stay, said, "All right, you're going to have to take a mark. Give me your right ear." And they put a little old hole there with an auger. And they just drill a hole with it. And when that old man was carrying some packages right on down maybe to the marketplace, he was on an errand for the master, somebody saw that big old ugly scar on his ear. See, he's a marked man.
Yeah.
What was he? He was a love slave.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ saved me back in 1939.
Oh,
just a Catholic boy that didn't know straight up. But one day when I got up from that altar speaking in other tongues, bless God's great name, I found out that I said goodbye to the other master and I chose a new master.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he just captured me. I couldn't get away from him. And he told me to go, and I would go. And he said, "Come," and I'd come. And I served him for a few years. And brother, I fell in love with this thing. All of a sudden, I began to, after a while, realize, well, now I'm still young, and if I want the world, I can get it. My time. You know, after a while, you finally begin to say, well, I don't know. If it's possible, I can go on and amount to something for God, and I was young in the Lord. And temptations come up, and I can say, I can turn back and go with the old gang there, and they'd say, "Come on, Carl, let's go." And I could do that, or I could go on with God. I looked that old bunch over, and I mean, that had been my home, and they fed me, and that was my boarding room. I didn't have a home. Mom had been dead since I was 4 or 5, and Dad was in the poor farm, and I was just a bum riding freight trains around the country, and these were the only boys I knew. But I turned around and said, "No, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I haven't got a job. I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight even. I haven't got a job. Things are still tough. Hitler looked like he's going to conquer the world. Mussolini over there. World getting ready to go to war. Men get me, but there's one thing about it. God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I can leave him tonight. I can walk away and quit him tonight. Oh yeah, I've been in this long enough. My time's up if I want to go. He tells me I can go or stay. What I want to do." But I began to look over. I didn't have anything till I come here. He gave me everything I got. I dress better now than I ever did. Bless God, I feel better now than I ever did. I have more than I ever did. I just can't walk off and leave you, Master. "Well, I want to serve you." He said, "All right, then you're going to be my love slave. Stick out your ear and let me put that a hole through it there." Bless God. What's that mean? When you see me walking down, carrying my little old burden down to the store, when you see me bend beneath the load of Christianity, bless God, I want everybody to know that I'm a love slave for Jesus Christ. And I mean, I just can't get by without Him. I mean, I can't make it without Him. I can quit if I want to, but who can I go? He's got the words of eternal life. I just can't make it anywhere else. I don't want the world. I don't want to go back to Dad. I don't want to go back to my brother. I don't want to go back to that old sinful world. I can't make it without him. I want to be his slave forevermore. Oh, laugh at me, talk at me. Call me a sky pilot, holy roller, jumping idiot, anything you want. But I just can't make it without him. Oh, this is a reproach of honor. This is a reproach of honor. This is an esteem mark. This is a mark of distinction. And I'm glad I could wear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? How about you, friend? Has the devil ever come to you? And has he ever tried to make you feel bad because you're a Christian? Has he ever tried to say, oh, what's the use? I want you to get a new grip on God tonight. I want you to get a new hold on heaven tonight. I want you to walk out that door, brother, like you just got a fistful of $1 million. You got something more than that. You got the prize of all prizes. Moses, he esteemed the reproach. More honor than all the riches of Egypt. Do you hear me? Just the reproach had more value. Little old stamp is printed wrong. Somebody said it's worth $1,000. You get a little old vase over here and they say, oh, that vase, that's worth $500,000. This picture's worth $1 million. It's the work of a master. Gold is worth so much. This is worth so much. Building, property, and everything else is going up. But all the most priceless treasure that you could have in your whole life, bless God, is the mark of Jesus Christ. One of these days, it's going to be the most valuable thing in the whole wide world. Oh, when the Lord comes back again, he's going to look for a tongue-talking group that's got the marks of holiness on it. Are you going to be in that bunch? I believe you will. Shall we bow our heads? I'm speaking tonight to some soul, perhaps it's been discouraged. Somebody that the devil's been trying to trip up. I want you to get a new grip on God as you come to this altar. Say, Jesus, sometimes I feel like it wasn't worth very much. Sometimes I feel like I haven't done very much. But as the minister preached tonight, I begin to see that I have something worth fighting for. You Jesus' name people, don't you surrender your soul or the revelation that you have without a struggle. Don't you let the world or bitterness or the devil creep into your heart and drag you down to the pit. Brother, you be glad for this mark. Sister, you be proud of this reproach. You come down and get a new grip on God and say, help me to live this thing, Jesus. Help me to go out and put Bloomington Gospel Tabernacle or the name of Jesus on the map everywhere I go. Help me to show everybody this mark. This world is looking for a Bible to read. And brother, when they begin to read the marks of Jesus on you, that'll bring Christ back to this world again. Oh, don't disappoint them. As we sing this song, in just a moment, I wonder if you'd come and seek his face. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, everyone please and respect. I wonder, is there a soul? I don't care whether you're saved or backslidden or not saved.